And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes back? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard here tonight on live, June the 22nd, a Sunday evening, with the Shepherd's Call. Call a friend and neighbor and tell them that we're on the air, and we would much appreciate that. And we got a interesting program for you tonight. We're going to talk about what we know about the United Nations. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been long prophesied that a new world order is needed to bring order to the world. Well, what about the independent state of the nations? Well, you say, well, Pastor Bud, that certainly hadn't worked simply because we've got wars and fighting and poverty and evil and things of this nature. Well, a one world government will not provide the answers that we have been made to believe. Question: why is it that the United States of America all of a sudden is the only superpower left on the planet, and yet we have at least 11 nations that are armed to the teeth with nuclear power? So then, what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, is a need for unification of all nations, and the philosophy of the UN's basic agenda, we're going to find out, is both anti-American and pro-totalitarian, based upon the communist agenda for a world socialist government. Now, let me repeat that. A world socialist government. Our Declaration of Independence proclaims the self-evident truth that men are empowered by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. But in its covenant on civil and political rights, the UN ignores the existence of God. It implies that it grants rights and then repeatedly claims power as provided by law to counsel them out of existence. If any government can place restrictions on such fundamental rights as freedom of speech, the right to keep and bear arms, freedoms of the press, the association, movement, and religion, soon there will be no such freedoms. The UN, again, founded by those who are interested in having a common goal of a world socialist government. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. And the facts, ladies and gentlemen, it's all facts. 16 key U.S. officials helped shape the policies leading to the creation of the United Nations, were later exposed in sworn testimony as secret communists. 16 of them. Key. Well, we're still talking about 16 key U.S. officials. These included Alinger Hiss, chief planner of the 1945 founding conference, and the Assistant Secretary of Treasury, Harry Dexter White. The Soviet Union under Stalin and the entire Communist Party, USA apparatus, worked tirelessly to launch the UN. Now, why would the government of socialist Russia work tirelessly with the 16 key U.S. officials who shaped the policies leading to the creation of the UN? Why would they be so enthusiastic about forming a socialist world government headed by the UN? Well, let me give you some more. In 1921, the Council on Foreign Relations, better known as the CFR, began. It has always worked for world government. The key CFR founder, Edward Mandel House, in his book, called for socialism as dreamed of by Karl Marx. The CFR was an early promoter of the UN, and 43 members of the U.S. delegation at the UN Founding Conference were or would become CFR members. Let me give that to you again in case that you're wondering about the conception. Now that the UN was founded, 1921, the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, it worked for world government. Mr. George Bush and other leaders have promised that the United States would become a member of a new world order. Now, the UN has always chosen socialist one world leaders. The Secretary General at the UN founding conference was the Soviet spy, Alinger Hiss. He was followed as Secretary General by Norwegian socialist Mr. Lai, Swedish socialist Dag Hammarskjöld, Burmese Maxim, Marxist U Thant, and Australian former Nazi Kurt Wilhelm, Pavilion socialist War Paraz de Salyer, and Egyptian socialist Boutros Ghali. Each has consistently used the full resources of the UN to promote communist and socialist causes around the world. I'll give you an example. The federal land that we have in the United States has already been mandated as land for the UN Biosphere Protection Act. And the Socialist International, which proudly traces its origins to the first international headed by Karl Marx, today claims tens of millions of members in 54 countries, and at its 1962 Congress, it declared that the ultimate objective of the parties of the Socialist International is nothing less than world government. Membership of the United Nations must be made universal. Almost all of the UN's independent commissions for the last 30 years have been handed to members of the Socialist International Communist Party. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you really knew why that the United States is overextending its military. And right now, there is overwhelming and compelling evidence that the United States has within or without its borders nearby, particularly Canada and Mexico, enough United Nations independent United Nations troops, mainly from Russia, China, and Germany. The figure started out at 30,000, quickly jumped to 80,000, and from that to 300,000, and from that to 3 million. As time has gone by, 3 million foreign troops within or near or next to the borders of the United States of America, and it is evident that they're not here for military exercises other than in the event that they are needed to bring civilian control. And that's why that we propose that the next few years will be very critical, as they will now objectively go for your guns, because an armed civilian populace are the things that these armies or these control merchants of the totalitarian socialist party, the United Nations is heading under the guise of a peace. They're coming in peacefully to obtain, and we have done told you that in 1921, the agenda, this is only 3 or 4 years after Karl Marx installed, and ladies and gentlemen, he came from New York and London, England. He was a Zionist Jew. And so then, today in our government, we have such members, such as Wolfowitz, and a coalition of Zionists that are running the United States government, the head of FEMA, which is the owner, if you will, of the largest prison system in the world. 630 known concentration camps, staffed and ready to go at a moment's notice. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a political scenario right now in the year 2008 that I don't like. We have the abomination of desolation and prophecies to look at. Now, think about the word abomination. Then think about a candidate that is running on the Democratic Socialist side, far left, with a liberal agenda for socialism. And for people that he has supported and is being supported by is very questionable, as he has raised enormous amounts of money. Let's look over to the far right, where we have the opposite, and the New World Order is very good at giving you political choices. They make one extreme to the next extreme with a choice somewhere in the middle. Here we have three possibilities. We either have Osama, Obama, or we have McCain, son of Cain, on the Republican side, and this is where the Republicans employ the Christian right. and they get their strength and power from a deceived Christian nation of America. They have long pulled the wool over the eyes of the Christians. These founding fathers, such as Alger Hiss, and the members of the Socialist International Party, headed by Karl Marx, is no more than a Khazaric connection to Zionism. And Zionism has used its power and influence by taking over the United States government, even sending to Russia in the early 40s the printing plates from the Federal Reserve to print money for the Russian government to succeed in their communist quest to overpower the nation of Germany. We had three of the leaders that I can mention to you. We had Mr. Rosenfeld, a Zionist. We had Mr. Churchill, a Zionist. And we had Mr. Stalin, a Zionist. And so then, we are hearing nothing but lip service from the UN Charter, which outlines the path of world tyranny, and they mention that their charter of the principle shall not prejudice the application of enforcement measures under Chapter 7, and Chapter 7 discusses sanctions and boycotts. But if these are decided to be inadequate, they may take such action by air, sea, or land forces as may be necessary to maintain or restore international peace and security. The UN used this broad assertion of authority as the pretext for its armed intervention into the domestic turmoil, even in Somalia and Haiti, and now with the threat of going into Iran. The UN is building its own army to enforce its will. In 1992, the UN Secretary General Boutros Ghali, fulfilling a directive from the UN Security Council, unveiled an agenda for peace. It was a plan to strengthen the UN peacekeeping capabilities, and the plan called for armed forces to be made available to the UN on a permanent basis. And it warned that the time of absolute and exclusive sovereignty has passed, and proceeds to name a long list of risks for stability that would be used to justify the use of permanent UN army to enforce its will. Incredibly now, U.S. leaders are using America's military to pave the way for this army. In Bosnia, in Somalia, in Haiti, and elsewhere, foreign UN commanders have controlled our troops, where 15 Americans were killed in Iraq in mid-1994. Vice President Gore extended condolences to the families of those who died in the service of the United Nations. Even more incredibly, it has been the official policy of the U.S. government since 1961 to disarm America and create a U.N. army. This policy concludes progressive control disarmament would proceed to the point where no nation would have the military power to challenge the progressively strengthened U.N. peace force. And for that information, I acquired the State Department publication number 7277, Freedom from War. If you want to see it, ladies and gentlemen, it's there in black and white. The UN doesn't settle disputes. Our ambassador to the UN in 1982, although a UN supporter, admitted that the UN had become an arena in which countries are drawn into problems that might never have become involved in if there wasn't a UN. Ask yourself, should these countries have to take sides in a clash that breaks out on the opposite side of the world when century-old animosities erupt in the former Yugoslavia? Why does the UN inject its presence with troops, blockades, bombing, and a parade of speeches? American troops serving for the UN became targets for criminals and terrorists in 1983, where 241 U.S. Marines were blown to bits at the Beirut airport. 5 years later, a U.S. Marine colonel was kidnapped and eventually murdered by Arab terrorists while in a U.N. unit in Lebanon. He was unarmed, as required by the U.N. The U.N. peacekeeping mission in Somalia cost the lives of 36 Americans in 1993. The U.N. ignores communist atrocities, but targets non-communist nations and leaders. Now, let me give you an example. When Soviet tanks rolled into Hungary in the 50s, when the Chinese communists were murdering Tibetans in the 60s, when the Soviets were butchering civilians in Afghanistan in the 70s and 80s, when Chechnya was brutalized by Russians in the 1990s, the UN did absolutely nothing. But the UN declared tiny Rhodesia a threat to international peace. Why Rhodesia? It was a nation that was ruled by the whites. It was a threat to international peace. And in the 1960s, it was enabled pro-communist terrorist Robert Mugabe. Remember him? He's still in power. They encouraged him and they enabled him to seize power, and it was a UN-led campaign that brought self-described communist and convicted terrorist Nelson Mandela to power in South Africa in the late 1990s. Gives you a little view of what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming to America. We now have troops in our biosphere, federal land, our parks. Many eyewitnesses have seen, and yet when confronted, they say it's for training exercises. Foreign troops, German, Russian, and Chinese. Here in America, on training exercises. Notice this. The most murderous criminal regime in the world is communist China, as they have taken the place of Soviet Russia under Stalin, who killed 90 plus million of his own people as they install this communist regime. And in 1949, anti-communist nationalist China, one of the UN's founding members, was forced from the mainland to Taiwan by the communists. In 1971, the UN expelled Taiwan and embraced the brutal Red Chinese government, a government responsible for over 35 million murders. And when the vote admitted Red China was announced, UN delegates danced in the aisles to show their contempt for America and their joy at the triumph of Red China. The UN is a moral cesspool filled with perverts and fat cats and Edomites. In 1993, the UN Economic and Social Council granted consultant status to the International Gay and Lesbian Association, which includes the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which advocates child molestation, and the Dutch group, Martin, which promotes the use of children as sex objects. In 1988, the top Belgian UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, official was one of the group that was convicted of running a child sex ring. Bankruptcy is commonplace in moral standings in the UN operations. In Zimbabwe, UNICEF donated equipment that helped terrorists seize power. In Vietnam, the communists received $13 million from UNICEF, while untold thousands of boat people fled for their lives in starvation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, 40% of UN employees are paid more than comparable U.S. workers. They had subsidized rent, and they take extravagant vacations. They are exempt from income tax, and they avoid sales tax and parking tickets. In UN stores, they eat in discounted UN restaurants and park in discounted UN garages. An ex-UNICEF official confirmed that pampering and encouraged staffs of various aid agencies absorb 80% of all UN expenditures. And America supplies the money, and the UN, when financed by these tyrants and assorted enemies of the U.S. and conditions in the nation's aid, they grow worse, as taxpayers pay 25% of the UN budget plus 31% of the UN special agency budgets. Ladies and gentlemen, something's wrong. Additional billions of our dollars go to the IMF, World Bank, and other unrelated lending agencies where they have been used for incredible, wasteful, and subversive UN projects. And that's not surprising, since these agencies were designed by the Soviet agent Harry Dexter White and socialist John Maynard Keyes. Socialism International spokesman Harry Mankwad happily described the IMF as, in essence, a socialist conception. The World Bank aid funds went to the Marxist dictator Mengistu while he was causing large-scale starvation and death over in Ethiopia. To Tanzania director Julius Nyerere as he drove peasants off their land and burned their huts, and to the Vietnamese communists sending thousands of boat people into the sea. Even Newsweek magazine concluded that the UN's foreign aid programs tend to prop up incompetent governments or subsidize economies so that they can never stand on their own by the will and the vote of the people. The UN is a war organization, ladies and gentlemen. It is not a peace organization. To prove that, Article 42 of the UN Charter claims authority to take such action by air, sea, or land forces as may be necessary to maintain or restore international peace and security. But the UN definition of peace is never given. Tyrannical regimes throughout history have defined peace as the absence of all opposition. And to achieve peace, in 1961, UN planes bombed hospitals in Katanga, schools, administrative buildings, and private homes. Katanga was anti-communist province of the Belgian Congo, seeking freedom from the communist-controlled central government. The UN is not now and never has been a peace organization, and it will use whatever military power it is given to force all nations into this whirl of socialist United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know the rest of the story. Now, if they're taking over the national parks, and they are, because if you go on the website of the UNESCO and United States MAB, or Man and the Biosphere Program, established an extensive biosphere reserve system across the U.S., including Yellowstone and including the Smoky Mountains, as embraced by and being and brought into an implementation by the Clinton administration under the Ecosystem Management Sustain Yield, and it can be found at the National Biological Service site at www.nbs.government. This is all part of the Biodiversity Treaty, approved by Clinton but never approved by Congress. Your vote didn't count, ladies and gentlemen, because it became an executive order. And the U.S. has a duty to preserve the Yellowstone, the ecosystem across the administrative boundaries designated were the Glacier National Park, Carlsbad Caverns and its minerals, and the Bozeman Chronicle says Senator Conrad Burns of Montana. It is astonishing that a group of extreme environmentalists can invite a few folks from the United Nations to circumvent laws that Americans and Montanans have worked hard for and lent their voices to. Mr. Burns expressed fears that the committee would also seek to put a halt to activities in the park, such as travel by motor vehicles, as well as to create a buffer zone around the park that would run roughshod over private property rights. And that's in the Blue Ribbon Magazine, January 1996 issue, if you'd like to look it up. Ladies and gentlemen, these property rights belong to the United Nations, not the United States. And therein lies the trouble, because in Article 4 of the agreement states that signatory nations shall protect these sites. Now, let me repeat that. Article 4 of the agreement that was signed by the United States states that signatory nations shall protect these sites to the utmost of its own resources and, where appropriate, with international assistance and cooperation of other nations. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen, and especially in America, which is the last state that is trying to stand, if you will, the last nation that is trying to stand independent by a civilian population that believes its rights to keep and bear arms and to defend this nation against all intruders. But the enemy has come in. As Mr. Khrushchev said, we shall rule America from within. And ladies and gentlemen, that has come to pass. The Biodiversity and Ecosystems Network, you can find by visiting a website, which is staylight.tamu.education. Benefits the biodiversity network of what's happening in the government at this time. In 1978, listen to this now, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the U.S. versus Mexico, New Mexico, in 238 U.S. 696, that the Creative Act justified the creation of forest reserves and national forests from the public domain on a foundation of two specified promises or purposes for which they could be created: to ensure a continuous supply of timber for the use and necessity of the United States citizens, and two, to secure favorable conditions of water flows. The court rejected the assertions that the Organic Act had established a third purpose for which forests could be created: to improve and protect the forest within the boundaries. So the U.S. Supreme Court is getting into the action to assert congressional oversight, and this is probably why the Forest Service has reopened public comment. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to speak out on this matter if you love your country. Now, let's look at the Council of Foreign Relations and the New World Order. What do they have that would be so compelling that you should fear? For one, You may be confused about the controversy surrounding the New World Order, a one-world government, and American concern over giving the UN more power. Those that are unaware of the issues involved and those wishing more background should consider the following. That War and Peace at New Mexico State University, a paper was written that ridiculed and purposely an acknowledged and locally quoted expert on terrorism and Middle Eastern affairs as paranoid, probably a symptom of mental illness, and you can judge this for yourself, that when the paper was cited, the data is the scientific method, but does not seem to apply to conspiracy theories. And 1,000 sources may be quoted, yet will not convince the skeptics. Ladies and gentlemen, this paranoia means to believe in delusions of danger and persecution. The real danger is the danger of no danger. In other words, an unconcerned people that is too busy trying to pay for their gasoline. And that is part of the confusion of the New World Order as we speak, where there is not a shortage of oil, but a trader's frenzy. They are paying enormous prices or charging enormous prices. The oil don't cost from OPEC anymore. It is the traders that are making the money off of the oil that is being used to finance the New World Order. It is already a known thing that a national income tax was declared unconstitutional in 1895, and so therefore, to bring about another form of taxation through products, exorbitant prices, such as the exorbitant price for gasoline a year ago, less than $3, and now over $5. Why is it? Because the loans that the enormous sums of to the government that the Federal Reserve has given is a method to repay the debt in a form of income tax and to escape from taxation for the wealthy and the corporations and foundations. All that remained was an excuse to borrow more money, and by some happy coincidence in 1914, World War I began, and after American participation, national debt rose from $1 billion to $25 billion to now, after the Second World War, and the time has gone by, we are trillions of dollars in debt to the Federal Reserve. That means that they can draw interest of the debt that's been incurred by printing more money, creates more debt, and more interest. And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the things that America has got to remedy. We need to wake up, and we need to send capable men to our Congress and our Senate and our local governments, and we need to elect men that love our country rather than use our country for profit. Did you know that the price of a man, when he gets in politics, that they have the money to reach you? And if you're not a man of integrity and above and beyond that which is normal for Washington, D.C., and now we have Mr. Obama running on change. What kind of change? From what little republic we have left to the socialist left is his agenda. And then over to the extreme right, we have the 100-year war advocate, Mr. McCain, who would favor keeping American troops in Iraq and possibly Iran, as he has threatened to bomb them, as Ms. Clinton did. We will bomb Iran into the next century. was a threat if, indeed, they attacked Israel. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the timetable for the New World Order and from the Council of Foreign Relations, which was incorporated as the American branch in New York on July the 29th, 1921, founding members included the Mr. Colonel House and such potentates of international banking as J.P. Morgan, John D. Rockefeller, Paul Wartburg, Otto Kahn, Jacob Schiff, and the same clique which has engineered the establishment of the Federal Reserve System, according to Gary Allen in the October 1972 issue of American Opinion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the founding fathers of the CFR want you to support the United Nations, a socialist communist party which has taken Russia, a most prosperous and industrialist nation, in the 1900s, early 1900s, when they achieved power in 1917. They have taken it and they have installed a socialist government. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see what's happened to Soviet Russia and the same subclass standards of living, with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor, with the middle class. Socialism despises middle class. The working class people either have to be poor and needy like the Russian peasants, and the American middle class will be extinguished through a UN takeover that is bringing about socialism to our shores. Now, why would they do that? Simply because taking America off the gold standard in 1934, Franklin Roosevelt opened the way to unrestrained money supply expansion. Decades of inflation and credit revenue for banks, raising gold prices from $20 an ounce to $35. FDR and the Treasury Secretary Henry Magenta Jr., son of the founding CFR member, gave international bankers huge profits even unto this day. His most remembered program, the New Deal, could only be financed through heavy borrowing. In effect, those who had caused the Depression loaned America the money to recover from it. Then, through the National Recovery Administration proposed by the branch of the New World Order in 1930, they were put in charge of regulating the economy. FDR appointed Baruch, the disciple, Hugh Johnson, to run the NRA, assisted by CFR member Gerald Swoop, with broad powers to regulate wage prices and working conditions as it was. Herbert Hoover, who wrote in his memoirs, Pure Fascism, merely a remaking of Mussolini's corporate state and socialist order. The Supreme Court eventually ruled the NRA unconstitutional. But during FDR's years, the Council on Foreign Relations captured the political life of the United States. Besides Treasury Secretary and other CFR members, including Secretary of State Edward Stennis, War Secretary Henry Stenson, and Assistant Secretary of State Sumner Welles, in 1934, almost every United States Secretary of State has been a CFR member, including all Secretaries of War or Defense, from Henry L. Stenson through Richard Cheney. Ladies and gentlemen, the CFR has controlled continuously since its creation, starting with Alan Dulles, founding member of the CFR and brother of Secretary of State under President Eisenhower, John Forster Dulles. Alan Dulles had been at the Paris Peace Conference, and he joined the CFR in 1926 and later became its president. So we've got the CFR running our nation in a communist-controlled agenda where the Federal Reserve prints the money and loans it to the government through interest, creates large debts and depression, pays that off, charges usury, which is the concept of the Federal Reserve. And ladies and gentlemen, our debt load has got so great that now Babylon must fall. Now, let me give you the reasons that Babylon will fall. First of all, Yahweh, who is against usury in the ways that the socialist system has designed usury and debt, charging the members of the nation who own this nation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you own the federal parks. You own the property of the United States. But it's become so debt-ridden that we've had to outsource our land to be bought up by people abroad. And that's why that the United Nations has become so forceful in coming into America and demanding payment. Now, this New World Order has become a stinking odor in the nostrils of our Creator. Therefore, Babylon will fall in one day. That's what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. And that fall is imminent. But before it falls, there shall be a great time of trouble for Jacob. It's mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Now, who is Jacob? That's the sons of Israel, the promised covenant people that would be blessed with the countries that are involved under the rulership. We're the last to give in to this rulership, ladies and gentlemen. And when the abomination, let me repeat this, when the abomination of desolation is set, and that will be very soon, then you know that the time is nigh, even at the door. The abomination is fixing to be set. And ladies and gentlemen, the time of trouble and the tribulation shall begin. And it will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen since the conception of nations scattered abroad. America was a blessed covenant nation, but it was enslaved under the Masonic slave ship, which was taken over by those crafty men that crept in unaware and changed our nation from a republic to a democratic society that will now finally end in a socialist state. And so this new world order will have about it an ominous odor. And I can smell the dead rats beginning to stink as of now, ladies and gentlemen, in the days when the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. The abomination of desolation is fixing to be set. And when she's set, then the fury and the anger will come up before our Creator. And Babylon and its nations of one world order will tremble and shake at the presence of the outpouring of the Spirit. The rebellion ladies and gentlemen, will result in a worldwide cleansing. This planet, long overdue for its cleansing, Mother Nature is already showing its displeasure of those who intend to destroy the earth if they can't rule it, and they will. And so then, if a picture is worth a thousand words, then you can know for sure that the picture on the prophetic scene is the abomination is set. And once it is set, the time of trouble will begin. And ladies and gentlemen, we're coming into a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Your parks are filled with forces that are designed to prevent and to rule in the event of martial law. Martial law could come very quickly. We have three political choices on the horizon. Number one, Mr. Obama. Number two, Mr. McCain. Number three, George W. Bush. Either one of those three could be a situation that could change overnight. Mr. George Bush could be appointed as the leader of a nation under the leadership of the UN, which has its charter, which has its amendments, and which has its laws already written and signed by the United States directive and executive orders to bring it under the rule and dominion of the United Nations, which is nothing but a Soviet socialist state conceived by those who seek to rule over the liberties and the freedoms and the power of the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in the great and the magnanimous name of Yahweh. We come against all forces of evil. And we come against the establishment of the plans of the wicked who are seeking to rule this earth with a rod of iron. We bind Satan in the heavens. We bind his plans. And we bind his armies and his plans upon the earth. We loose in the heavens all the righteous power and indignation of the spirit warriors who are set in the heavens and posed and ready. For you said, whatever we bind in heaven and whatever we loose in heaven and whatever we bind in the earth and whatever we loose in the earth, it shall be done. Father, we take authority over Satan and his angels who are coming to this earth to gather together the forces of evil in a state of confusion where wickedness will prevail and where no flesh will be saved except these days be shortened. We pray, Father, for mercy and grace upon a blind people that they can awaken and they can rise up from the ashes as the phoenix. And they shall see through the flames of your passion the vision and the hope of a nation. That George Washington's vision of a weakened and almost destroyed nation and the Third World War that's coming up, as they seek to subdue, as it's recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations, Father, we pray for strength. We pray that you loose the forces of good and righteousness upon the earth. We pray for the vision and the blindness of Jacob to be wiped from his eyes in the time of need. Restore that which the caterpillar and the cankerworm has taken. Restore the riches and the favor of our nation. Let us become once again the loaners rather than the borrowers and the indebtors. Let us be free from the shackles of socialism and communism without you. As they fear you, Father, the Savior of the world, as they curse you under their breath and parade in front of the microphones and the television cameras as men of God, when they're really sons of Satan and Lucifer. We bind them and curse them in the name of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here. The old clock on the wall is caught up with us tonight. And the message tonight is the United Nations coming soon to a neighborhood near you. You don't want to receive them. You need to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray and humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal the land. Our land needs healing, not with the United Nations, but with the love of the brotherhood and the faith of our Creator and Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, we must stand together in the last days. Our eyes need to open. You can write me, that's Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. You can call me tonight. I'm live at area code 423-626-2172. You can go to our website, circleroyal.com, and click on for articles and information concerning some of the things that you've heard tonight. My sponsor is Dr. Gary. We need your help in the radio broadcast. 1-877-289-7439. My good buddy, Brother Paul, at 1-800-253-2748 for STEM Tech. Ladies and gentlemen, I've enjoyed being with you. Yahweh richly bless you. I'll see you next Friday night on WWRB 3.185 at 11 with a Scotsman, Brother Randall, on WWRB 3.185. I'll see you next Saturday night on WWRB 3.185 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Shepherd's Call. And I'll see you again next Sunday night when the man comes around. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's richest blessings be to you.
The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing.